Some of you would know that our pastor, Ben Wood, is currently away on holidays. So he's not here with us this morning, but he's provided a sermon. So you're going to hear from him indirectly via me. So, yes. So this is his work. What we're thinking about today is how the Bible is one big story that is pointing to Jesus. Now, Jesus is clear in this passage that we've just heard that his suffering and death are not accidental. Rather, they are the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. When he talks about the prophets, he's referring to the Old Testament authors. Jesus says that they were all writing about him, the Son of Man. That's the title that Jesus uses to describe himself. In particular, they said that he would suffer, be killed, and rise again on the third day. The first thing to notice then is that the Old Testament is about Jesus, and not just isolated verses. In John chapter 5, Jesus says to the Jewish religious leaders, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." It's easy to think that it's just the New Testament that speaks about Jesus. But here in John 5, Jesus says that the scriptures testify about him, and the only scriptures he can be talking about are the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't yet written. The second thing to notice is that Jesus fulfills the Old Testament promises. How does the Old Testament speak about Jesus? Well, both the Old Testament and the New Testament testify about Jesus, but they do it in different ways. The Old Testament looks forward to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, God's promised and anointed King. If you like, the Old Testament is a book of promise. The New Testament is a book of fulfillment. It speaks about Jesus' life and death, his resurrection and ascension, and his coming return. And it explains how those things fulfill all that was promised in the Old Testament. The third thing to notice is that the scriptures speak particularly about Jesus' death and resurrection. The whole Bible is about Jesus, and particularly about his death and resurrection, his suffering and exaltation. Right at the end of Luke's gospel, after his resurrection, Jesus appears to the disciples. And we're told he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And this is how he summarizes what the scriptures teach. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." That's the Old Testament. And you can see that language of fulfillment there. And Luke goes on, "Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" It's quite a summary. Jesus emphasizes these three things as he explains the Old Testament scriptures. The Messiah will suffer, the Messiah will rise, and repentance and forgiveness will be preached in his name to all nations. In these verses from Luke, Jesus is telling us that when we read the Old Testament, we should be looking for what it teaches us about him, particularly his death and resurrection. Now, the New Testament can help us here because it points us back to some particular passages and ideas from the Old Testament that explain how Jesus' death and resurrection fulfill those things. But there are other passages, other stories in the Old Testament that aren't directly referenced in the New Testament. But if we're reading the Old Testament in the way Jesus says we should, then we'll be looking for how they point forward to him. Let's take a few stories as an example. One that you might be familiar with is the story of the Passover, which we looked at in our Exodus series last June. The Passover tells the story of how God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. He instructs them to take an unblemished lamb and kill it. Then they are to paint the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their houses. When the angel of death passes through the land of Egypt to strike down every firstborn son, he would see the blood and pass over those homes. No Israelite died that night because a lamb had died in their place. Now the New Testament picks up this story and shows how Jesus very clearly fulfills it. The gospel writers are at pains to show that Jesus' death takes place at the time of Passover. When Jesus celebrates the Passover meal with his disciples, he breaks with tradition, and as he hands around the bread and the wine, he says, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins." The New Testament is clear that Jesus is the true Passover lamb who dies in our place to rescue us from slavery to sin and death. Let's look at another story. In Genesis 22, God tells Abraham to take his only son Isaac to a particular mountain and sacrifice him. Amazingly, Abraham obeys, and the New Testament tells us that he had confidence that even if his son was killed, God was able to raise him from the dead. At the last minute, as Abraham raises the knife to kill his son, God stops him and says, "Now I know that you love me, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Now, the New Testament nowhere makes a direct connection from this story to Jesus' own death, but if we're reading the Old Testament in the way Jesus says we should, we'll be asking ourselves how this story points forward to Jesus' death and resurrection. It's not hard to see the connection. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son, but he's spared at the last second. God is not just willing, but actually does sacrifice his son, Jesus. The closest the New Testament seems to get to a connection comes in Romans 8, where Paul says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Because of Jesus' death, we can say to God, "Now I know that you love me, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." The Bible is not primarily about us. It's primarily about Jesus. The Bible is not primarily a rule book that tells us what we need to do. It's primarily a rescue book that tells us what Jesus has done for us. So it's not primarily teaching us how to live. I wonder if that's how you see it. Is that how you read it? Now, certainly the Bible does teach us how to live. But that's not its first or primary purpose. First and foremost, it is a book about Jesus and what he has done to save us. And when you grasp that, it does change how you live. But it changes you not just by giving you rules to obey or examples to copy. That's changed through external motivation. No, when you grasp the message of the Bible, the message of salvation by God's grace through the person and work of Jesus, it changes you from the inside so that you want to obey, so that you have the power to obey. The stories in the Old Testament about Abraham and Moses and Joshua and David and Jonah and all the rest are not primarily examples for us to copy. If that was how to read the Bible, then the story about Abraham and Isaac would be read as teaching that we need to be like Abraham, willing to sacrifice everything for God. Now, that is a good thing to think about, but primarily the story is pointing to Jesus, how he did sacrifice everything for us. And when you grasp that, it changes you. It melts your heart. It frees you to know that the Son of God loves me and gave himself for me. Only when you grasp that Jesus made that sacrifice for you will you have any chance of living a life of sacrifice to him that is genuine, sustainable, and rightly motivated. We're going to finish by watching a 3-minute video called True and Better. It's based on part of a sermon from Tim Keller, and it goes through a number of Old Testament characters and briefly explains how Jesus and his death and resurrection is the fulfillment of each one. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have revealed yourself through Jesus. Thank you that he came to earth as a man, as the true man, and lived a perfect life. Thank you for his sacrificial death for us on the cross. Thank you for his resurrection to new life that he gives to us as well. Thank you for the way that the Bible, your word, points to him. Please help us to understand more and more how each story points to him as our Lord and Saviour. May we grasp this more and more deeply so that we would worship him and live for him. Please change our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.